The Joe Mason Show is on, in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour, and we will talk a lot of different sports today. We'll do some baseball at the end of the show with Rush Olson. We'll do some San Antonio Spurs basketball with Jared Wilco. But up first, it's Football Friday, and Joe Mullinax is here to talk all about some NFL games that we think you'll be interested in. Joe, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Great to have you back in the States, and great to be back on the show.
It's great to have me back in the States, too, although sometimes I wonder what's up. But one thing that did work out well is we're broadcasting live from the Akron Public Library's recording studio. We are not officially open yet for business, but we're testing everything out. I'm the guinea pig. I like it. But a big shout out to the Akron Public Libraries, Joe. Nice place. I'll tell you what, I missed being in libraries, and I'm here every day, and I love it. I'm here all day. This is where I work, basically. But I'll tell you what, we got some great football this weekend, don't we?
Football league right now. There's still some pretty intriguing matchups going into Sunday's games.
Yes, there certainly is. We lost you there for a minute. Anyhow, it is good. There's great football coming up. We also had this little thing with Adrian Peterson. He is now on the suspended list. What did you make of all that?
Well, whether it be Adrian Peterson or Ray Rice, whatever the situation, the NFL, obviously they're in the business of making money. That's part of the reason they're in existence. But at the same time, you have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. That's kind of an old quote that maybe you and your listeners have heard a variation of along the way. And the NFL, it's just not quite sure what they stand for at this point. Roger Goodell came in. He was kind of seen as the new sheriff in town, kind of, you know, walking pretty loudly with his big stick of discipline and punishing people left and right. And he cleaned up the league, which needed it at the time. But now, obviously, he's really swung and missed with that big stick when it comes to domestic violence. And Adrian Peterson is just another example. And they finally got it right. This is a guy who shouldn't be on the field, at least until this is all cleared up and figured out. Regardless of whether you call it discipline or whatever, this is the 21st century. You can't, some of the things that happened to us when we were younger and even older than I'm only 27, but you know, people that were older than me, you know, the things that happened in terms of discipline when we were children don't fly anymore. They just don't. It doesn't work that way. And that's not going to be able to be a consistent means of raising a child for Adrian Peterson. So hopefully he learns that. And, you know, as the process goes out and as they figure out what exactly happened and what's right and what's wrong in terms of covering this moving forward, the NFL just has to have a better understanding of and a better finger on the pulse of how important this issue really is and how it shouldn't be tolerated.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you know what? He did make some good points, and some others have too, is that he's from the South. And this is how they do things, you know, this is how they discipline their child. And, you know, there's a fine line between abuse and discipline. And we'll have to wait and see whether he crossed it or not, because he's innocent until proven guilty. Even though those pictures look damning, you know, a lot, they can do a lot with things. I agree. He should be suspended just like anyone else should be who's facing criminal charges. And I think it's important that Roger Goodell finally stepped up in that department. He dropped the ball with Ray Rice. And he's probably going to wind up getting sued by the Players Association for that. You know, double jeopardy is a bad thing. But this whole thing about athletes and culture and, you know, this happens all the time, Joe. And no one seems to point fingers enough. And I don't know how it's going to ever be eradicated.
Well, and as you said about Southern culture and how it happened, and Charles Barkley is another example of somebody who said, you know, if these laws were around where I'm from, you know, a whole neighborhood would be in prison. But, you know, that doesn't complain an abuse. You know, you can maybe give a whack with a hand if you think that's right. right, or, you know, that's up to you personally. But like you said, those photos, that's not just a whack with the hand. That's physical violence. And Chris Carter said it best on Sunday NFL Countdown on ESPN this past week. You also have to understand, when you're an athlete the caliber of Adrian Peterson, who shatters his knee and is physically able to play football at the highest level possible 9 months later, you're a freak of nature. And your 15 whacks with a switch are going to mean a hell of a lot more than they would from, you know, some 120-pound woman or from some, you know, smaller guy. Like, you're a freak athlete with amazing strength. You can't do that to that child, because it's going to mean a lot more in terms of physical punishment coming from you. So you have to kind of know your own strength in that situation. And if you don't, when it comes to a child or a woman, in the case of Ray Rice or these other cases that are out there, I'm with Chris Carter. You got to get him off the field.
Oh, I agree. You know, get him off the field, get whatever. But it's still a fine line between discipline and abuse. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see if he crossed it. Because I remember growing up, man, my mom, if she couldn't find a belt, she found a wooden spoon, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. And I'm happy that she did. You know, one thing I will say this. The other day, I'm walking to the library. I'm just walking down the street. I got a coffee in my hand, and there's a group of kids walking, and none of them are paying attention. They're texting or whatever, and then a kid runs into me, spills my coffee, and then he tells me to watch out. Watch where you're going. And I said, did you even see me? And he went, F you, and a bunch of other crap. Now, if I'd have done that when I was a kid to an adult, especially a guy who's not that small, I would have got knocked on my can. I think, you know, what we have to do is we have to figure out how we're going to make society work, and without allowing the inmates, being the children, to run the asylum. How is that going to work out?
It's a fine line. I don't disagree with that statement at all. And I would say, you know, as a teacher in my day job and as a coach myself, seeing discipline, you know, kind of regress a little bit can, you know, worry you. But at the same time, it's just so hard because, like you said, whether it's a wooden spoon or a shoe or a belt, I mean, these that doesn't, just because it happened to us doesn't make it right. And as we move forward as a society, there has to be new and different ways to try to discipline children. Now, have we completely figured it out yet? I think it's fair to say no. But in the case of extreme discipline, like I would say Adrian Peterson, if everything works out and those photos are indeed accurate, that's extreme discipline. And I don't think that that is necessary in the 21st century. I just don't. I think that you can get your point across in better ways than beating the hell out of your kid.
Well, I hope you're right, because in my experience it is the opposite, but it is what it is. I'm an old guy. That's why. But, gosh, you know, we'll hit home for you a little bit. In Akron, Ohio, in the Akron, Ohio area, just last week, a high school football coach was fired for giving his team a hard time after verbally hammering his football team after they had lost. And someone got upset and he lost his job. I mean, what do you do when you're a coach? I'm a coach, too. And there are times when I let them have it because they need it. You know, you have to get them to respect you, too. And being a nice guy sometimes doesn't work, especially in football, right?
No, you're exactly right. And there's a fine line to walk as a football coach, for sure. And there's that story that you just told about the guy in Akron. I've heard stories, whether when I was back in Memphis, of coaches getting fired and having their, you know, their talks recorded and having kids. You know, you never know who can hear you anymore, who's watching, who's really listening. You know, you could be a YouTube viral video any minute if you don't control yourself. And that is a fine line, just like there is with discipline. In my experience as a coach, I mean, every once in a while, the heat of the moment, maybe you let out a curse word or something like that, but it's never okay to curse the kid. You know, it's never okay to say you're a worthless piece of blank. You know, that's awful. You can't curse the kid, and you can't make the kid, you know, be lesser by your presence or by your position of authority over them. Yes, you should get into them, and I do get into them from time to time if they're not giving a good effort or if they don't have a good attitude. But when the moment where people kind of lose face is where they start to, you know, really start to get into personally attacking the kid. You got to remember who the adult is and who the child is, and sometimes people let that slip away from them.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the children think they're adults. And that's a bad thing. I'll tell you what, though. This is an interesting topic.
That could be the issue.
Well, we'll talk about this after Adrian is dealt with, I guess. Philadelphia and the Redskins. Your Redskins are taking on the Eagles. What's going to happen there?
It's going to be interesting, Phil, because the Redskins' defense is one of the top ones in the league after 2 weeks. They've looked pretty explosive. They had 10 sacks against the Jacksonville Jaguars, setting a new team record, or at least tying it. And granted, notice that I said it was against the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's not like it was the most overly competitive competition. Obviously, Houston's 2-0. They look like they're improved. But Jacksonville might be the worst team in the NFL. So this is the first, you know, true test in terms of a division opponent, an NFC opponent. This is a game that the Redskins have to be competitive in at the least, maybe not necessarily win, but be competitive to feel good about themselves moving forward. And that defense is going to face a tough test against Chip Kelly's high-octane offense. As far as the Redskins' offense goes, they're looking at Kirk Cousins now. RG3 out for probably the next 6 to 8 weeks. It's going to be the Kirk Cousins show, at least up until the bye week. And how Kirk responds and how games and having success because the other team didn't really game plan for them. Now teams are going to be gunning for Kirk Cousins, and it's going to be interesting to see because this is kind of an audition for him, whether it's for his next team or whether in some crazy turn of events Kirk Cousins becomes the quarterback of the Redskins in the future and Robert Griffin III does not. How he responds and how he plays these next 6 or 7 weeks is going to be huge for his career.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think R2-D2 is probably not going to be the quarterback much longer. I think he's frail. Plus, he's reckless. You know what? I know he wants to win, and he's a great athlete. But you know what? You can't play like that in the NFL, and it's been proven, unfortunately, through him. That's too bad. But it should be a good bet. It should be a good football game, though. You know, you're dealing with the ninth leading rushing team in Philadelphia and the second leading passing team. Nick Foles is having a pretty good start to his season. He's second in passing in the NFL, and that's not a bad thing. The Redskins got their work cut out for him. We'll have to wait and see. Baltimore-Cleveland, what's the like there? There's a lot to like.
I think that you're continuing to look for Baltimore. Oh, yeah, there's a lot to like. I think you're continuing to look for Baltimore, kind of growing and improving their team. They had a big game after the Ray Rice saga of last week, really kind of blew up. That Thursday night game where they played a pretty good game. I think that you look for them to continue to get better. Cleveland is still trying to find themselves consistently. Obviously, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football looms large in the Cleveland sports landscape, at least until basketball starts up here in the next few weeks. And I think that you really will see a Baltimore team who's starting to come into their own and kind of rallying behind the idea, you know, it's us against the world, even if that's not necessarily the case. Obviously, Ray Rice being on his own in terms of his situation. But with all the media attention and all that, you know, teams can kind of rally together behind those kinds of situations. And I think that you'll see Baltimore continue to do that. I think they'll probably go on a little run here and have some success on the football field.
I'm looking the opposite way. I like Cleveland. I like Terrence West. He's sixth in the NFL in rushing right now. He's doing pretty good. Brian Hoyer, that last drive last Sunday against, can't remember who it was now, but that was fantastic. He did a nice job against the Saints, I guess, and that looked good. I like this team. I like this team a lot, this Cleveland Browns team. I like this team so much, I think I'm going to pick them against the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday. Last game, Super Bowl matchup, Denver and Seattle, a rematch. Good game to look at, right?
A little rematch, just a tiny bit. You think Denver's probably going into Seattle hoping to, you know, get some revenge, so to speak, in terms of, you know, being shellacked in the Super Bowl. I think that something that's going to be interesting to look for is the return of Wes Welker. He's coming off of his suspension, the new drug policy that the NFL and the NFLPA agreed to. Wes Welker is off of suspension. The Broncos also have several other players coming off of the injured list. So the Broncos are bringing a team that really hasn't played together into Seattle, and it's a tough place to play. There's no doubt. And Seattle, you know, 7-1, 8-0 is certainly realistic when it comes to playing in their home stadium. Russell Wilson looking pretty good. Beast Mode didn't have as good of a game last week, but I think that you'll see him kind of They'll get back to basics this week. They'll get back to what makes them great. And as long as Marshawn Lynch, who's dealing with some back issues right now, as long as he stays healthy, I think Seattle will take this one and probably take it by 2 scores.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think Denver needs to control the ball. And if they can do that, just like San Diego did the week before, and keep that offense off the field, they're going to be all right. This is going to be a great game, though. I'm going to enjoy it. I think you will, too. I think you fans will. I'm going to take Denver. I'm going to go against you on this one, Joe. But it's all good. Welcome back to the show, my friend. It's good to have you here. It's nice to listen to you talk football, and it's good to just basically be back on the air. Joe, thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for having me, Phil. Anytime, as always, good to have you back.
All right, that was Joe Mullinax. You can find him over at grizzlybearblues.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
Hi, we're Rob Folkett, and you're listening to Phil Nason Show.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think, and it probably comes from porn as well.
You know
what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epix Radio. Listen online, www.epixradio.com.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcasts.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at brewtownsports.podomatic.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now,
Shut the hell up.
Back to the Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. Man, I tell you what, I am so happy to be back on the air. All this week, we've been kicking it. We're trying to put everything back together the way it was. You know, it's difficult because, you know, we were doing the show in the evenings, and now I have to do it in the mornings. But we're here in the beautiful Akron Public Library recording studio. We're still working out the kinks. It'll take a couple weeks so we figure everything out. But one of our guests is back from poundingtherock.com. Please welcome J.R. Wilco to the show. JR, how you doing? Welcome to the show. It is nice to speak with you.
Doing fantastic. Good to talk to you. Man, it's been weeks. And I missed your 1,000th show. Man, that was no fun.
Yeah, you missed out. It was a bummer. But I had to do the show because I had to leave the next – I was leaving that next day. And, you know, but we still thought of you during that 1,000th show. And it was fantastic. And there was a moment there where I thought that was going to be the last one. You know, but we were really lucky to be here in Akron, Ohio. We're lucky to be affiliated with the Akron Public Libraries, and we're hustling out there doing this full time. So it's a lot of fun. You know what? NBA 2K. It's a video game, for those of you who don't know. I have personally never played it. Now, this is NBA 2K15. There's actually 15 versions of this thing. I've never played it. I know people who do. They're kind of like addicted to it, so be careful out there. We don't want to create any video game addicts. But, JR, the Spurs have been ranked. Some leaks have been out, and, of course, Pounding the Rock covered it. And the Spurs players are leaked. Now, set all this up for us, will you?
Yeah, so 2K Sports publishes the 2K series, and it's hands down the best video game, the best basketball video game there is, the best NBA video game without a doubt. And every year, it's the Madden of NBA games. And every year, there's a pretty big lead up, as there is to all video games, to the release of the game. And, you know, the video game market's now actually bigger than the movie market. So they've outdistanced Hollywood a few years back. And this is big money. And so they promote it every bit as much, although in different ways, than the big studios promote their new movies that they have coming out. And so let's see, it was about a week ago that they came out and just said on their Twitter feed, they posted the bottom, everybody in the game who is ranked. Let's say they had all the players ranked top to bottom every year. They have an overall ranking, and they go into the details about their defense and how well they steal and how well they shoot from outside and when challenged and all that stuff. I mean, it's really, really detailed, but they have an overall ranking. And so Jeff Ayers was the lowest ranked Spur, and he was rated with an overall ranking of 67 in the game. And so just everybody 400 and below, they just all the players are put in order. So everybody who is in the below 400, in the bottom 400 players, I should say. They put the rankings out there, and then on their official Twitter page, official Twitter feed, they said, "Hey, if you guys follow us on Twitter, for every 5,000 followers, we'll release another 100 of the player rankings." And so the next thing I expected to see was rankings 300 through 400, and then, you know, another few days go by, and then 200 to 300, 100 to 200, and then the top 100. So there was going to be, you know, these four series these ratings released by, you know, the official NBA 2K15 Twitter site. And then suddenly out of nowhere, last week, the rankings were leaked, and we did a lot of research on it. I had Chris Itz looking at it, and we couldn't find who actually leaked them. I have no idea if it was intentionally by the 2K Sports guys or not, but we have all of the Spurs rankings out, and there's only four players. So there's been a couple of things that 2K Sports has said. One is that there's only four players who are who are in the 90s. And you'd expect that to be LeBron James and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was confirmed later on by the Daily Thunder, and then it came out that Tim Duncan was a 90, and that's pretty big news because you know, first of all, his age, and then secondly, I mean, like, he's anchored the Spurs on both ends for years and years, but it's been a while since he's been ranked so high, and just for the leak to come from out of nowhere without any word about, you know, where it came from is a little bit of a mystery.
Sounds like it. So that means that NBA 2K15 are not Spurs haters by ranking Tim Duncan number 90. So you folks out there with a persecution complex, you can't cry, because these numbers here, Tony Parker is ranked 88. He has a number 88.
Yep.
Danny the Scrub Green, 78, which is about right. Kawhi Leonard, 85, which is, okay.
Yeah.
Tiago Splitter, 77. Manu Ginobili, 83. If he had more hair, it would be 85, I'm sure. Boris Diaw, 78. I would argue that one because I think he would get a better one. Patty Mills, 77. Marco Bellinelli, 75. Oh, my God. Where do they come up with this? Matt Bonner, 73. The Red Mamba, Michael Erler, is probably crying about that. Jeff Ayers, 67. Austin Day, I'm pissed about this. He's a 67 also with Jeff Ayers. And Corey Joseph is number 73. What numbers do you see there? And you've obviously been through this. Which ones do you disagree with the most?
Well,
or do you agree?
I would actually – well, they dropped Ginobili's a little bit, and I'd love to see him at an 85 or so, because he arguably had a better year last year than the year before, especially in the postseason. And so to see him at an 83, to see him drop from the previous year, so 2K14 had an 85. That's one thing that I don't really get. But there's really not a lot to gripe about here. I suppose you could gripe that Parker could be in an 89 or 90, but last year's regular season for him was nothing like the year before. So, I mean, there's not much of a leg to stand on with that argument, I would say. I love Kawhi's 85. He's just going to continue to improve, you would expect, as he gets more experience. But Diaw, that's a 78. He was so key in the finals, or I'm sorry, in the run to the championship, especially in the finals. I think one of the biggest differences between the 2013 finals and 2014 was the fact that the Spurs didn't just have answers for the Miami's pressing defense. They solved it, and they just brought up Boris into the high post, and he was the safety valve anytime that the pick and roll didn't develop anything, and the ball handler was pinned over at the sideline. He would just pass it back to Boris, and then essentially at that point you have 4-on-3, and Boris makes such wise decisions with the ball. And I just thought his overall defense, he didn't play defense as well on LeBron as he did in 2013, but a lot of that was LeBron, not Diaw. But he just, his overall game on offense and defense, his rebounding and his passing just were stellar. So to see him, you know, nudging up against the 80s, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him go up again in the ratings this next year, because I think he's just, the way he's played in the FIBA tournament, the way he's carried France, and just has had an answer for really anything that's been thrown at him, and just put that team on his shoulders with all the guys that France has out, including Tony Parker. I love the way Diaw is playing right now, and I love to see his ranking so high. I was blown away that Mills was a 77, but man, the way he shot the ball this year, and the way that the whole Spurs team shot the ball through the playoffs, it really wasn't all that surprising. Wasn't all that far outside of their regular season numbers. That's just the way they shoot the ball. And it was incredibly efficient, especially when you're getting open looks from the 3-point line and right in next to the basket. So yeah, there are a couple of surprises here, but by and large, the game loves the Spurs. They love champions, and they're pretty much giving a tip of the hat to everybody on the roster.
Yeah, just about. But I wouldn't put Danny Green and Boris Diaw at the same ranking, 78. But then it's not a fantasy thing, so I guess it doesn't matter. But you know, when you talk about Boris Diaw to me was the MVP of the San Antonio Spurs, for not only the regular season but probably the playoffs as well. People can argue that all they like, and that's fair enough, but that's just my personal opinion, my choice. I really like Boris Diaw. I like the kind of the metamorphosis because, you know, his last stop before he made it to San Antonio, he really looked lackadaisical. He looked like he didn't care. He was out of shape. He was a typical France athlete who didn't get their way. And this system here has been perfect for him. And I think that's what the San Antonio Spurs are. It's just a great system. Because individually, a lot of these guys, okay, except with the exception probably, you can disagree if you'd like, with Parker, or the exception being Parker and Leonard and Manu Ginobili. Yeah, okay, yeah. Even then, even though he's 40, I'll give it to him. And, of course, Tim Duncan. You know, the rest of them are just role players on bad teams. But with this guy, with this system, you know, they've taken their strengths, and God bless them. I mean, look at Danny Green. I mean, Danny Green's a fantasy nightmare, and that's why I call him a scrub, as you've always known. You know, when I call him a scrub, I talk about their fantasy values. But honest to goodness, Danny Green doesn't thrive anywhere else. He really doesn't. And, you know, I talked about this with the guys here in Cleveland, and they're like, Danny Green? They were stunned that he's done so well. And I said, well, look at the system he's in. He's in a system where he's set up to succeed, and he does. And when he doesn't, someone else fills the bill, the interchangeable parts. A beautiful system. Good rankings, though. I wouldn't have probably ranked Parker so high, but that's just me. I would have probably – I wonder – I'd be curious to see the rest of the list is in comparison in what I'd be. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think they're just homers for champions.
Well, they do give respect, I think, where it's due. And when you have a team that just blows through – the playoffs, right? So in the 16 victories, 12 of them were by 15 or more points. That's just an absolute, well, I mean, it's a trip out to the woodshed is what it is. 12 of the 16 wins by 15 or more points. That's not just winning games. That's demolishing opponents. That's putting the games out of reach. Putting it to the point where a late three by Ray Allen's not going to make any difference. That's essentially what they did, and the game is recognizing that and ranking them accordingly. I think you'll be very interested in a post that we're just putting up on the site by Jay Gomez about Danny Green and about whether or not he's a systems player, specifically whether or not he's the next Bruce Bowen. And without ruining that, the answer is no. He's not the next Bruce Bowen. He's a very, very different player, and he's much less a system player than Bruce Bowen is. I'd be interested to see your reaction to that one. But if you're going to talk about how old the Spurs are, and some of the Spurs are old, at least know how old they are, Phil. Manu is 37, just turned 37 in July, and Duncan is 38. So they're not 40 yet.
All right, well, I've coached Argentinian kids who had interesting birth dates, too. And you know what? I was only teasing.
That's fine.
A little bit of radio hyperbole. You know, it's my show, and I can do what I like, and I'm wide awake finally to do it.
Good. And I know. It's not 3 in the morning your time when we're recording. It's awesome.
That's the other thing. You know what? People didn't realize that I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning after a full day of tennis.
Yeah, that just blew me away. Sometimes I know you were getting up early to record with me. I know sometimes you were staying up late, but regardless, I could never tell the difference in how dialed in you were and you know what you sounded like. You always sounded the same. So kudos to you there. But we're actually in neighboring time zones now. We're only 1 hour difference in the time zone. It's pretty weird for us for having recorded together for a whole year. To just be, you know, 60 minutes apart.
And that's exactly right. And you know what's funny is the closer I am to you guys, the more difficult it is for us to connect. But we'll do that.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I have to take free when I can. Studio time is about $200 or $300 an hour.
Oof.
And the flexibility that I afforded before, it's a little different now. But the library here is really working with me, man, and I really appreciate them. And I appreciate you coming on. You know, I know we had to do this at a difficult time in the day for you, and I do appreciate it. You know what? I appreciate you, San Antonio Spurs fans, too. You know, I love winding you up last year, but that's all I was doing is winding you up. And you know what? And you know why? Because it's easy to do. JR, I'll see you next week, my friend.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Phil.
All right, that's J.R. Wilco. You can find him over at poundingtherock.com. All right, Boosie and Rock Fulkin, take it away. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
Hi, we're Rock Fulkin, and you're listening to Phil Nason Show.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You
yeah.
know what I mean? That's got to
sure.
be a big, strong big, thing. Strong
oh, that's thing. Gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcasts.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcasts.net.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at brewtownsports.podomatic.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now...
Shut the hell up.
Back to the Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show, broadcasting from the Akron Public Library. Major League Baseball, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. It's coming down to the wire. We've only got a couple weeks left. We've been talking about it all week. We'll continue to talk about it. And today, to talk more baseball with us and to talk a little bit about Ron Washington and a lot of other different things baseball-related, please welcome from Rush Olson, Creative and Sport. Rush Olson is in the house. Rush, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Phil, it's great to be here. Glad to have you back in the States and recording again.
I'm glad to be here and glad to be recording, too. I took 6 weeks off. I didn't realize how much I would miss it, and I really missed it. I really missed it. Missed talking to you, missed talking to all the guys. But we're back. We're at the Akron Public Libraries. We're still like the guinea pigs here. We're trying to figure out where to put everything. So I have my old stuff. I was doing it in Greece anyway. And I just said, let me just get after it. And we'll start doing what we got to do.
I love it.
If there's any kind of funny sounds and noises in the background, I apologize in advance. But I guess you folks out there are used to it because you have been listening to me do this thing from Greece.
Phil, it's a library. It's supposed to be quiet.
Yeah, it is. And we're in a quiet room, but there's little noises and there's a fan blowing in some respects. Sure. And it is what it is. It really is. Anyway, baseball, Rush. I'll tell you, we talked about the Rangers at the beginning of the season. We both really like Ron Washington a lot. What happened there, man? I'm just disappointed that he is not on the baseball field. I'm not going to point fingers at what he's done or didn't do, but in my opinion, he's a man, and he, you know what? He owned his actions, didn't he?
Yeah, and that part definitely doesn't surprise me. The whole thing just makes me sad because whenever I dealt with him when I was at the Rangers, I considered him to be a man of integrity, and he always treated everybody. My part was doing commercials with him, and he treated me, he treated my crew, he treated everybody that he came in contact with integrity and as a professional. And so I left that organization with a very high opinion of him. And when he resigned, it definitely confused me. I was like, you know, people would ask me, what do you think? Well, why did this happen? And I said, I have no idea. This is very odd for somebody like that I consider to be such a professional to leave in the middle of a season. It just seemed very odd to me. And so now that he has come out and explained what happened, I understand it. Again, it's just very disappointing to me that he would do something like that because of the kind of guy I considered him to be. And I think what you said is sort of reflects that's how he considers himself. And so he looks at himself and he goes, oh, man, I did this terrible thing. I can just imagine how it would be eating at him inside, which doesn't excuse his actions. But I do have a little bit of sympathy there. And the whole thing just is a disappointing experience.
Yeah, sure. I have a lot of sympathy for him. You know, these kind of things happen, especially with athletes. You put yourself in bad positions all the time. It can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on the road. You're by yourself. You know, these things, it's tough. But he's a good guy, and he made a mistake. And while I'm an old school guy, and these are the kind of things that we kind of frown upon, mm-hmm. honest to goodness, I'll tell you what, I can't point fingers and judge him because it's not my place to do.
Yep.
All I know is that the baseball world lost a tremendous manager when he stepped aside. But I think he's a great example to follow. You make a mistake, and I don't know everything that he did or didn't do. I didn't hear his entire press conference. I must admit, I was kind of following some other things and trying to set everything up with the show. But one thing is clear is that he's a guy who loves the game of baseball. He also loves his family. And the one thing that came through is, for me at least, is baseball's a privilege, but my family comes first, and I let my family down, and I let my baseball team down, and for that to happen, it was just not a good thing, and what he did is the right thing by walking away. I hope he comes back, because again, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, and I think he's going to have even greater impact with the young people that he works with because of this experience.
Yeah, and you know, it would, whatever he ends up deciding to do, obviously he has chosen to put his family first at this point. I certainly hope that works out. I hope things get to a point where he is comfortable with that situation just for his own sake. But he'll never be able to stop himself from doing something in baseball, whether it's going down to the neighborhood park and teaching kids to field ground balls or whatever. You won't be able to get baseball out of Ron Washington.
And nor should you. And hopefully the baseball world embraces that and allows him to come back when he's ready. And he'll know when that time is, and I hope that happens. It won't probably be with the Texas Rangers again, but it could be with someone. And I think he just has too much knowledge and too much passion for the game to be away from it. And like I said, he'd be a heck of a little league coach.
You know, when we would encounter him in spring training, obviously, and you would watch things he would do, and – you could see just the enthusiasm he had for teaching. And you could also, of course, tell all the knowledge that he has. You would watch him work with these infielders, especially the young guys, and show them things. And he was, he's just so, so good at that. And so, yeah, you can't imagine that he would not be, that he would even be able to keep himself from doing that.
Yep. And like I said, like you said, I happen to wholeheartedly agree. I hope it all works out for him and his family and everything else that's going on in his world. It's probably not a great thing. And, you know, he had a tough job this season. You want to talk about having to teach? Oh, my own. If you'd have told me in the spring that we would be looking at a Texas Rangers team that is 60-92 and 34.5 games back in the West, I'd have told you you were insane. If I'd have said that on the air, people would have flamed me till they would have really flamed me.
Well, especially when we were having discussions early in the year about writers who were choosing the Rangers as the best lineup in baseball. The flip side of that, I suppose, is if you had told us about any team, the Rangers or anyone, that they would set a major league record for number of players used in a season, well, we would have said, yes, I don't think that's going to be a very good team. They've had a whole lot of injuries, which, of course, the Rangers have. They've had some ineffective play and had to bring some young guys up. And so I think that's sort of the flip side, is if we had known that in advance, well, now you look at it differently.
The other way to look at it is Ian Kinsler was almost right. He said, I hope they lose 162 games. Well, so far they've lost 92.
They've lost a lot of them.
That's a lot of them. I don't mean to laugh, but you almost have to when you look at the injuries. It just became like ridiculous and crazy. And Houston even has a better record than that team does. And that's just weird, because we thought we were looking at a very good four-team West. Instead, we're looking at a one-team runaway with the Angels. Oakland, you know, they had their share of injuries too. And we talked about that on Wednesday's show with Alex Hall. But, you know, the actual race that intrigues me, besides the Central and American League Central, which we discussed yesterday with Craig Brenner, at the National League West and the National League standings and the National League wildcard is going to be interesting. Hats off to the Washington Nationals, the Rips Popcorn Boys. I hate that team, by the way. But you know what? They cleaned up house in the East. The Central, St. Louis and Pittsburgh, hot and hot. And then we've got the Dodgers in San Francisco. Have you enjoyed this National League pennant races?
Oh, and not even as much as I think I'm going to, because these last three series are really shape up to be some exciting stuff. I mean, you've got the Pirates and the Brewers coming up this weekend. So that's right there is head to head teams that need to win. The Brewers really need to win, and both exciting teams. So you've got that going on. The next week, you've got the Giants and the Dodgers in LA. So you've got some seriously charged games there. You've got St. Louis, who of course has had a big win last night over Milwaukee, a walk-off win. You've got the other part of this that I'm really intrigued by is the Cubs as potential spoilers with some of these young guys that they've got that are hitting the ball, and they've got the Dodgers, the Cardinals, and the Brewers. So they could mess up all three of those teams if they were to play well.
And they could. You know what? You're absolutely right. But I'll tell you something. This National League wildcard race is crazy. San Francisco and Pittsburgh are currently in that hunt actually have the wild cards in their hands. That's a good thing. Milwaukee's 3.5 games out. Atlanta's 6 games out. You want to talk about another team who choked and had injuries, by the way, is the Atlanta Braves. Miami's 8 games out. Forget about Miami. They're done. Stick a fork in them. Atlanta, you can stick a fork in them too. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. They don't want to win anything. The Brewers, man, I got to tell you, Rush, they went bombs away, bombs away, bombs away. They didn't do anything to improve that pitching staff. And you and I talked about this before. They probably should have. And you know what? It is what it is. And you've got a two-team race for the wild cards if Pittsburgh and San Francisco don't wind up winning their divisions.
Well, sure, yeah. Pittsburgh and San Francisco both have that option. In fact, San Francisco controls their fate. If they were to sweep the Dodgers, and they also have a game in hand, they're the one team in that race that has a game in hand. They've got a 4-game series against San Diego to close out the season. They actually have their fate in their hands. If they just win, they win that division.
You're right. I'll tell you what, Pittsburgh, though, look at this. Here's what they've got. Here's what Pittsburgh has on the way out. They have three with Milwaukee. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one here.
Yeah, no, they've got three with Milwaukee at home.
Yep, three at home with Milwaukee. Then they have four on the road with Atlanta and three on the road with Cincinnati. You're talking about teams that are reeling. They put this thing away this weekend if they beat, well, if they sweep the Brewers, right?
They really could. If they sweep the Brewers, they've basically clinched themselves a playoff spot. Now, you know, so another thing that's interesting is that is still likely to be the second wild card spot. Again, you know, it depends on how things shake out. But one of the things that's interesting is if it does go down to the wire and you have any ties and stuff, that wild card game is very likely to be on the West Coast, because it's very likely to be either San Francisco or the Dodgers as that number one wild card team. At least those are what the odds would tell you. So if you are Pittsburgh, you'd really like to put Milwaukee away, not just because you'd like to go ahead and secure that spot, but if you end up in, let's say, in a tie with Milwaukee, well, now you got to play a playoff game. Or even if you ended up in a tie with St. Louis for the division, you got to play a playoff game. Then you got to go out for one game on the West Coast and then come back to play the Nationals. So you really like to get this thing secured now, so that you don't have to, so that you can not have to have that extra game in there, because you've already going to have a difficult travel schedule.
Yeah, that's a good point too. And you know what? But St. Louis, listen to what St. Louis has up. Three at home against Cincinnati, and then they travel to Chicago for three and Arizona for three. And I'll tell you what, that's a pretty nice schedule when you're looking at it. This is going to be a heck of a wild card race, and it's incredible to me. And then the other one, the Dodgers San Francisco, you're looking at the same thing. You're looking at some crazy stuff. This is going to be fun. This extra wild card rush, mm-hmm, it's made baseball really interesting, even though it's kind of, I don't like the whole thing, because, you know, that one car, one game thing. And I'm sure the teams don't like it either. But it just shows how important it is to go out there and win that division. Now, the Dodgers have a 2.5 game lead over the Giants right now. Can the Giants catch him?
Well, one of the things I love about this series coming up is you've got the top starters on both teams that are going to pitch in there. Now, Greinke did not look great yesterday, and if he is not exactly right, and the Giants can get to him, you could very easily win that series. Kershaw pitching the last game of that series, of course, that's never an easy task. But yeah, I think the Giants are not out of that race by any means. They've got a good chance. LA closes the season against Colorado. Colorado can hit the ball a little bit. You never know. LA's got the Cubs. I mean, Giants have a bunch of games against San Diego who aren't, you know, the best. So, yeah, I don't think the Giants are out of it by any means.
No, I don't either. But Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that's must-see TV. Mm-hmm. That's going to be must-see TV, because you've got Peavy coming in. He's pitching against the Dodgers, haven't even put anybody up. Then Greinke is pitching on Tuesday, and Kershaw on Wednesday against Timmy Hudson, Bumgarner, and Greinke. That should be a good one too. That's going to be for the West pennant, right?
It really could be. It depends. You know, I mean, they've got to win otherwise. But none of those are the only teams they've got left that have winning records, either the Giants or the Dodgers that they have to play.
Yep, it's going to be fantastic. Baseball is a lot of fun. The last 2 weeks of September, you play 5 months, five and a quarter months. And it all boils down to a couple of games at the end. And that's what makes it fun. That's why I love baseball so much, Rush. And I enjoy talking baseball with you. We just put it together real quick and jump right in. Great stuff today, my friend. Thanks so much for being on the show with me.
Thanks for having me, Phil. Love it.
All right, that was Rush Olson. You can find him over at rusholson.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. I want to thank all my guests for making this a great day of NFL football talk, San Antonio Spurs talk, and, of course, Major League Baseball talk. I want to apologize for the internet. On the first segment, we were having a little bit of an issue with our guest, and it was all good, though. We got most of it in, and that's all that matters. Until next week, or until next time, I should say, y'all be good.
Ladies and gentlemen, My mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.